In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Today's Mass is being offered for all those who suffered from the horror of abortion in their lives, for the aborted little ones, particularly those in our community who are still reeling from the loss of their own children and grandchildren, and from the loss of their own classmates who are not with them at this time. Thank you for the privilege of being able to beat the rosary with you before Mass. I never get to do that with you, but today is a very special day to be able to pray with you the pro-life rosary that we prayed before the Mass. It's tough. It's tough to make it through because it's the worst horror that is facing our country, indeed, will come to prove the greatest stain upon the moral conscience of the United States, not just what is going on in the United States, but how the United States has been such a grand proponent of spreading the evil of abortion throughout the world. May God have mercy on the souls of all those who propagate it. In the Gospel, we see these readings are not special to this day. They're special to the Friday of this second week in ordinary time. They're not special about today. But what do we see here? We see that our Lord names the 12 apostles that he appoints. Each of them are called by name. So too, just as the 12 apostles had a name, even though we don't really know too much about each and every one of them outside of sacred traditions, scriptures certainly don't speak about most of them in any great detail. But yet God formed them and knows them in the intimacy of who they are. Their names are their presence. And spoken day after day, time after time, throughout the canon of the Mass as well, for millennia upon millennia, unto the end of time. So too, the names of all those nameless ones who have been taken from this life. But we hear something within this first reading that is really what our movement during this day and in every day as we strive for to live out this pro-life message. This day shouldn't exist. It's a day for the legal protection of the unborn. In fact, we as Catholics don't want the legal protection of the unborn. It's not what we are after. We don't care about the laws. The laws are a terrible thing for us to have to work for. What do we want? We as Catholics, we want the conversion of hearts. We don't want to strengthen pro-life laws. We want to strengthen the law of God in the hearts of men and women. That's the only way we're ever going to be successful in this movement. It isn't by working to lessen it within our legal area or to add protections in that way or make it difficult, more difficult, and more difficult for abortion mills to crank out their evil or to set up shop. Really, in reducing the demand for it by convincing each and every man, woman, and child to value human life, to understand God's law, to see the protection and the irrepeatability of every single human person. Yesterday morning, I received a phone call from a particular priest who I haven't seen in the past 7 years. He was my spiritual director in Rome. He gave me a call in Rome because he found out, I'm sure through the means of Facebook, Monsignor Anthony Figueiredo, that my mother had passed away. It's been an encouragement to me even throughout this. And finally, I guess he looked up the office number and made a phone call real early in the morning. Apparently, I slept in quite a bit because I was awakened by his voice on the message machine and not enough time to go answer it. But to hear his voice as he was calling out, Monsignor Figueiredo is one who was born in India at the time when Many mothers had taken a particular drug, which name I forget right now, but it caused birth defects. It was very common. And then because of that, when he was doing those prenatal ultrasounds, they tested his mother, Sarah, they said, look, this child is going to be utterly deformed. If he even lives for a little bit, he's going to be terribly deformed. His life is going to be terrible. I think you should try for another one later when this drug is passed through your system, and then you won't have a child that will struggle in this way. Try again later. And his mother, Sarah, looked at the doctor and said, I think God has a plan for this one. I think God has a plan for this one. And so she refused the advice of the doctor and had young Anthony. Those who know Monsignor Anthony will know he's not real tall. He would never be destined to play in the NBA. He's a man with a withered hand. His hand is mostly like half a hand with a couple little buds for fingers on the top. Because of this, terribly mocked and ridiculed by everyone as a young man, he suffered grievously. And that really harmed his soul, really harmed his vision of himself. But time and time again, his mother encouraged him, and those around him reminding him, Anthony, God has a plan. But it was from this young child that God did something incredibly great. That he formed him in such a way where through the suffering he endured, he was able to find the call of God upon his life. The answer in a generous way, yes, he did become a priest, obvious, because I'm calling him Monsignor. But not only that, he had many, many encounters with saints, even speaking to Mother Teresa herself to get encouragement on his path for vocation. Mother Teresa of Calcutta. He is even a priest who has become a glue within the Vatican, going on many extraordinary trips sent by the Holy Father himself, doing great things to make sure that the church and the business therein is well taken care of. It's been an inspiration of many, many souls, not just because of the way he looks or the way he's attesting to life in that way, yes, but in the way in which God has crafted him with a knowledge and understanding of the spiritual life, to form many men to be good priests, to form many women to deepen their religious vocations. Life is precious. And so we see here within the first reading where it says, behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, when I will conclude a new covenant in the house of Israel. It will not be like the old covenants I made with their fathers. The day I took them by the hand and led them from the land of Egypt, they did not stand by my covenant, but ignored it. He says, but this covenant I will establish with the house of Israel, and I will put my laws in their minds, and I will write them down upon their hearts. Those are the movements that we're looking for in the pro-life cause. That God's law will take over the minds of all those who are struggling, that it will be written upon the heart so that there is no desire to end the life through abortion. But such is the great dignity of each and every human person, they won't even think, no matter what great difficulty a woman may find herself in, or a man may be afraid of the life which he has given birth to through his actions in that way, that he would see his role as father, that she would see her role as mother, and all would be supported in this movement of bringing this life into existence, even if it means that they can't care for this child on their own, but have to put it up for adoption. Pray during this time that there will be no need for a single pro-life law ever again. The law of God will be upon each and every heart. The dignity of each and every human will be so recognized, there would be no need for such. It may seem like a far too lofty goal in times as corrupt and dark as this. when even in the next few days, we do expect to see the Mexico City policy to be rescinded. And there, our taxpayer dollars will once again go again to, in a more overt way, fund abortions abroad. Yet hope isn't lost. Because out of the great darkness, God is able to bring about His light. And here in this Mass, and here with those of you who are present, is an occasion for great light. Because it all starts with a few ardently believing such a thing where it can propagate to many others. So in this Mass, let us pray for those souls who are this day struggling. For you know, in untold ways, in ways that will only be revealed at the end of time, that the effects of this particular Mass on the 22nd of January in the year 2021, only then at the end of time when we see what great power our prayers will have. Let us put our trust in Him, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.